This podcast is brought to you by Viva Global. Experience the difference with Viva. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Here in the studio with us to talk about the result is Avondale striker Stefan Zinni. G'day, Stefan. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yes, very well. Thank you. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for taking your time out on a Tuesday night to join us. But taking a look at the game, the weather was beautiful on the weekend, but the result was not quite as pretty. Talk us through the game.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't the result we were after. I think Bentley made it difficult for us on the weekend. You know, it was a very, very un-Bentley style of play. I think they sort of locked up shop. They weren't really pressing us. They're letting us have the ball and, you know, made it very difficult for us. They sort of had two banks of four and just sat there and we struggled to break them down. I think a lot came down to us where we sort of didn't work out the football problem on the field and we didn't move the ball quickly enough to break them down. And in the end, we struggled and I think they played on the counter and ended up beating us 2-1.
Was that a surprise, the outlook that they had on the game, the sort of game planning specifically for you guys rather than playing what you come to expect from Bentley football?
Yeah, definitely. All week we'd sort of been preparing for them to sort of press us and not really let us have the ball, sort of suffocate us. And, you know, it surprised us on the day when they sort of sat back. And I remember at one stage their winger was almost marking me at fullback. So I think that was happening on the other side as well. You know, they were playing very defensively and trying to catch us on the counter.
Almost a back six.
Almost was, yeah.
Well, they did, you know, come out pretty defensively. And we did seem to struggle in the first half with breaking down. I mean, why do you reckon that was? Just because of their defensive setup, or?
I think a lot came down to us on the day. Maybe we didn't move the ball quickly enough. I think when a team sets up like that, you really have to move the ball quickly and shift them from side to side and ensure that you're finding holes in their defence. And I don't think we were moving the ball quickly enough. And maybe our quality in the final third also wasn't good enough. We did have a lot of possession in the back line, but I don't think we penetrated enough for our liking.
Almost a mark of respect, I suppose, from Bentley to come with that kind of game plan to stifle you guys.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Johnny A would have studied us pretty heavily during the week. I've seen him in a few of our games as well. So, yeah, I guess it's a sign of respect, but at the same time, they beat us on the day.
Mm. Well, it was pretty even first half. I mean, there weren't too many chances to talk about. I mean, our best chance of the first half was Joey Katavian had a shot, and there that was, well, sorry, initially saved the rebound, fell to you. But apart from that, you know, there weren't too many sort of dangerous attacking for us. You know, how obviously we knew Bentley were going to be tough, but you know, what were we expecting to try to break him down?
I think we just didn't play our style, and I think they just set off way too defensive and made it difficult for us to score. You know, they went out ultra defensive and we just couldn't break them down.
What about the set pieces? I mean, that's been very threatening in recent weeks, I suppose, with a few teams sort of targeting from set pieces, maybe with a height advantage or so forth. Is that something you've, you know, talked about in training during the build-up for these big games?
Yeah, it's definitely something we talk about. I think it sort of comes down to concentration on the day. You know, everyone's got their man, and maybe if you lose concentration for a split second and you lose your man and they beat you to the ball and they score. So I think that's maybe what happened on the weekend. Maybe just comes down to concentration more than anything.
Well, they did break the deadlock. It was nil all at halftime. Didn't have to wait too long into the second half for them to score. And it did come from that set piece and I don't necessarily want to say poor marking, but the guy did seem to get a bit of a free run at the ball. But that was actually the first time that we had trailed in any game this season. So after, I think it was over 1,300 minutes, first time we trailed all year. I think we mentioned that stat a few weeks ago, so it did survive quite a few weeks of, you know, talking about on radio, but it did unfortunately come to an end. When we did go behind for the first time this year, what was the mentality among the players like? Because obviously having not experienced that before, you know, always been tied or in front, what was the attitude?
Yeah, it definitely was a different experience going down. Everyone sort of looked around and was like, you know, what's going on now? But something Zoc has drilled into us is that, you know, we don't change our style of play. No matter if we're 2-0 down, whatever, or even if we're up, we don't change. We're a possession-based team that likes to attack, and, you know, we kept trying to play our style and obviously didn't come to fruition in the end, but we kept trying it.
Well, it was almost like the goal sort of, I mean, to use the footballing cliche sort of like woke us up a little bit where once they scored, you know, the game really sort of started to change and we started, you know, to sort of find our straps a little bit more. I think Lundy had a chance. Oh, sorry, he had a shot. Found the back of the net, ruled out for offside, unfortunate. But then, you know, Yitay Towns equalised, I think, you know, 10 or so minutes after going behind and, you know, everyone was up and about. And it seemed like, at least from a fan's point of view, that we would then, you know, take that momentum, having equalised, standing there watching, go, all right, here we go, we've tied it up, we're going to go on and we're going to win this. And then Bentley scored, I think it was only 2 minutes after that. So what happened for us to go from scoring and, you know, at least from my perspective, feeling great, to then conceding again so quickly?
I think their goal was sort of against the run of play at that time of the game. I think we were attacking quite well and we were looking more likely to go on and win the game at that stage. And I guess they took advantage of the opportunities and scored and beat us, yeah.
What's been the reflection during the week? Obviously, you know, it's easy to have a very positive mentality in a great locker room when you're on a crazy, you know, winning run and haven't trailed all season. But after a loss, maybe that's the real test of the character of the playing group.
Nothing's really changed, I don't think. You know, we had a quick chat on Monday night at training, just sort of mid-season review, you know, and just caught up on where we're at as a team. And, you know, it was very positive. And I think we all took a lot of confidence out of that. And, I mean, considering where we are at the top of the ladder at the moment, we're very comfortable at the moment. We've only lost one game. So
if someone had offered you this table position at the start of the season, probably would have been
100%. Yeah, 100%.
So what was Zocchi's message? Did he have, you know, any particular wise words or anything to the lads?
He just said we got to keep our heads up. You know, he was very proud of our effort and he thinks we didn't deserve to exactly lose. Wouldn't say we deserved to go on and completely win the game either, but, I mean, a loss was a tough result and he just said we got to keep working and keep doing what we're good at and the results will continue to come.
Well, it's been a tough couple of weeks, you know, with the Bentley game and the Heidelberg game. So, of course, you know, the start of the year was amazing, winning lots of games, scoring lots of goals. The past 2 weeks, though, have been a lot tougher. Why do you reckon that is? I mean, does it just come down to the tough opponents in Heidelberg and Bentley? Is it maybe that teams have sort of started to figure out, you know, our strengths and our weaknesses? Or is it just, you know, mid-season playing a lot of games and that's sort of physically taken a toll? Like, what do you reckon?
I think it's a bit of everything, to be honest. You know, Bentley and Heidelberg are obviously very hard to play against. Two top teams in Victorian football. And then in amongst that, we've got, you know, cup games. We've had a big cup game against Preston last week and got another big cup game coming up. You know, there's a big backlog of games coming. So squad rotation's been heavy as well. So I think a few tired bodies, but, you know, we keep working.
What about that Preston game? Obviously, you scored a goal in that one. It must have been a bit special for you, given your dad's playing history with the Lions.
Yeah, it felt pretty good. And the fans didn't like it too much. They copped a bit of stick from them, but that's always going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty sensational atmosphere that night, and I think it was special for a lot of, you know, members of the squad, the Preston team obviously coming up against, you know, top team in NPL and also for the coaches. So, you know, that kind of atmosphere in those knockout cup games must be exciting to have more of them on the horizon.
Yeah, it's great. Sort of took me back to last year when we were playing on the national stage in the cup. And it's just great. It's what the cup's all about, you know, great crowds and things like that. And it's a big stage of what we want to play on.
Well, talking about the FFA Cup, let's chat about the next game we've got coming up as well, because that's going to be another big stage. And, you know, you were talking about Josh Preston and the fans and everything there. We're taking on the Melbourne Knights. I think it's next Tuesday, the 28th, at Knights Stadium with kickoff at 7:30 p.m. What are we expecting out of that game? Because, you know, it's going to be, like you said, another big stage, more passionate fans. So what are we expecting?
I think it's going to be a battle, like most Cup games, but, you know, I think Knights and Avondale, two big teams this year, two good teams. And I think Knights have improved this year a lot in terms of their recruitment and especially the way that they've been playing. So it's definitely going to be a tough game, especially being out at their ground, you know, tough place to go to with their fans as well. So definitely be a tight contest, but, you know, something we'd love to win as well.
What about the last time you played the Knights in the league? I mean, obviously there was a red card in the game which may have swung the contest one way or another, but is there anything you learnt from that game that maybe makes the Knights a bit of a different outfit to what they were last season?
Yeah, I think this year they've definitely improved in terms of their ball-playing ability. I think past few years they're probably not renowned for their ability on the ground with the ball at their feet, usually playing long balls, like a direct style of football. And I think this year they're playing out from the back, things like that, trying to play football properly. And it's going to be a good contest because I think we're a similar sort of team to them.
Well, ahead of the contest, so sort of going back a little bit, the past couple of weeks, I mean, we're sort of scoring goals for fun earlier in the year, found the goal scoring form, or goals, sorry, a little bit harder to come by the past couple of weeks. What have we got to do to make that change to be able to get back into goal scoring form ahead of the Knights game and, of course, the game this weekend as well?
I think we've just got to keep doing what we're doing. I think we were scoring early in other games because I think teams hadn't really worked us out yet. You know, our players are very direct and like to take on players early in the game and get at them. And I think teams sort of worked us out in more recent weeks. So, but I think if we continue to play our style of football, we should continue to get results.
And a team that knows how to score goals and probably knows how to concede them as well is Dandenong City. Had a 3-3 draw in their last game. Obviously, Brandon Barnes, always a threat up front. Looking ahead to this game, what do we need to do to get 3 points?
I think we just need to focus again and get our confidence back on the training pitch this week. And I'm sure if we play our style of football, we shouldn't have any issues this weekend. You know, they can recruit whoever they want to recruit in the window. There's been a few rumours going around of who they're signing, but I think, you know, big players can only do so much. I think you need a good team to win games, and I think we've got that at the moment.
Absolutely. Well, having given Stefan Zinni a grilling about the team's performance on the weekend, I think it's about time to take a break. But on the other side, we'll be having a look, a bit of a mid-season review of how the team's gone, and also maybe delve in a little bit into Stefan Zinni's career so far. This is, of course, Avenger Radio here on FNR Football Nation Radio. Back soon. Avenger Radio on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Avenger Radio, coming to you live tonight on FNR. My name is Branson. I'm here with Josh and Avondale speedster Stefan Zinni talking all things Avondale FC. We've had a bit of a look at the Bentley game so far, sort of broke down what happened on the weekend, but now, Josh, I think we want to have a bit of a chat to Stefan himself about some of his background and his career so far.
Yeah, I mean, only 22 years of age, but you've still been around a few different clubs at A-League and NPL level. You know, tell us a little bit about your A-League experiences, you know, starting maybe with the Melbourne City youth team.
Yeah, so I was with Melbourne City youth back when I started when I was 16 years old as a train-on in the youth team. And the second year I was signed in the youth team properly and played in the youth league and had a pretty good few seasons in the youth league and was lucky enough to get called up to train with the first team on a few occasions and then cemented myself to train with the first team for a solid season. And in that time I managed to rack up about 5 appearances in the A-League, including a start against Central Coast. So it was a great experience all in all. And then at the end of that... got released and wasn't offered a senior contract after that, which was disappointing. But you know, take that on the chin.
What was going on at the club at the time? Was it Joe Palitsides, the youth coach?
Yeah, Joe Palitsides,
and the head coach was, remind me,
John Van Skip.
John Van Skip. So yeah. I believe he would have left the club at the end of that first season when you're involved, right?
He ended up after I'd left, actually.
Yeah. So yeah. Do you think that played into things at all? I mean, we were talking to Chris Oldfield the other week about, you know, his time at Newcastle and, you know, when Benitez left, it was sort of, you know, his deal was done. It looked like he was going to get renewed. Were you surprised to be released? And do you think, you know, maybe the club hierarchy changes affected it?
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, John Van Skip was someone that sort of, I think, rated me as a player. He was I think he was a winger himself and he liked the exciting young players with pace on the wings, and I fitted into that criteria quite well. And you know, seeing him go was a bit difficult because yeah, he did like me and sort of took me under his wing when I was in the first team and really helped me.
And he's a coach with a real, you know, attacking philosophy, which, you know, must have rubbed off even in a short space of time.
Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot from JVS in the time I was there. He's a wealth of knowledge, and obviously he's played in World Cups. So, you know, what better person can you learn from?
So after that, back to South Melbourne, where you played a lot of youth football briefly. It must be a club, you know, still close to your heart?
Oh, yeah, I guess you could say that. yes. So
not too close. No, you're at Avondale, but you know,
adjacent to your heart.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. Good
better
spot
way
for
to
it.
Put it, yeah. No, look, I spent a lot of my youth at South Melbourne and then moved back there after Western Sydney, where I, in a time when I probably wasn't enjoying my football as much as I would have liked to, and going back to South certainly didn't help that, if I'm honest. And then moved on to Avondale, where things have been much better. I'm starting to enjoy my football again and play with a smile on my face.
It's good to hear.
I mean, absolutely great to hear. And do you have aspirations of returning to that A-League level, or, you know, happy at Avondale in the meantime? Is that something you're thinking about down the track if the offer comes around?
Oh, it's definitely something I'd consider when it comes up. I mean, I'd love to get back into the professional environment. But at the moment, obviously, I'm just focusing on Avondale. And if I continue to play well for Avondale, you know, the bonuses will come, and that's something that I look forward to.
So I think this is a, you know, an area where, you know, the Avondale players are uniquely positioned, because you're sort of right at the top of NPL, you know, ranks there. But the A-League, it seems like there's not that many opportunities for young Australian players coming through, or NPL players. You know, we've spoken to Liam Boland about this as well. You know, players who've shone at FFA Cup level and NPL, but maybe haven't been able to quite break through to the professional ranks. Do you think, you know, promotion, relegation, expansion, these kind of things are vital for, you know, those increased opportunities?
100%. I think that's what football needs in Australia. It's one of the only countries that doesn't have it.
Mm.
And yeah, it's only going to make things easier for young and up and coming players like myself and a lot of boys in at Avondale and in this league as well. And the sooner the better, I think.
Well, so a question that sort of pops into my mind when you think about that is, so obviously you've spent time with, you know, Melbourne City and then with Western Sydney Wanderers and then South Melbourne and now Avondale. How do you reckon teams like South or Avondale would go against A-League clubs? Would they be able to compete? Like, what would it be like?
Oh, well, we saw it last year when we played Sydney FC in the FFA Cup. And the year before, when I was at South, we actually played Sydney FC in the FFA Cup again. And both were, in the end, tight contests. I think, you know, obviously there's a difference between them being full-time environment where semi-professional players with, you know, most boys have got full-time jobs and a family and kids and whatnot. I think the main difference is just that full-time training, full-time professional environment. And I don't think there's that much of a difference between the two standards, really.
Well, I mean, if you look at the TPO rankings, obviously it's just a bit of fun, but, you know, statistically, based on sort of ELO ratings and things, Avondale actually ranked 10th in the country at the moment. So you just sneak into the A-League.
I think we're ahead of the Mariners,
yes.
I believe.
So. And I think in past and years and months, you've been ahead of other clubs as well, Brisbane Roar, I think.
Yeah, and we are the highest ranked NPL club in the country as well. So just a bit of a shout out to us there. Not that I have anything to do with that, but, you know.
No, your Twitter contributions.
Yeah, well,
that's national
it.
Ranking.
Got to do something, right?
Fantastic. Well, I guess with that, we'll get into a bit of the mid-season review. Obviously, you would have, you know, done it with the coaches and so forth, but let's do it here with the fans on the radio station, Ranson.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, last weekend marked the halfway point of the season, so pretty much gives us the perfect opportunity to have a chat at the year so far. So, I mean, but, you know, taking a look back at the year so far, despite dropping points in our last two games, it has been a rather remarkable season so far. 10 wins in the league plus 2 in the FFA Cup on top of that. Only one loss so far. That's got to be awesome. So as far as the playing group goes, Steph, I mean, what's the mood when you look back at the year so far? What do you think?
It's been a very good year so far. I mean, simply can't complain at all, except for one loss, really. And I think, you know, all the boys are very excited for the second half of the season. And, you know, if we can repeat what we've done or near to what we've done the first half of the season, we should be in for a very good second half.
So what do you reckon the highlight of the year has been so far for you personally?
Personally, I don't know, probably have to say my hat-trick against Altona. Don't score them very often. And to be honest, I was probably having one of my worst games in the season until I scored my first goal and then managed to get another two. So, yeah, that was definitely something I'll remember this season.
Yeah, it's amazing how much of a mental game it seems to be. As soon as you get one goal, it just changes everything.
Yeah, I think the game opened up a lot after the first goal as well. And then, yeah, obviously got a bit of confidence as well from that first goal and then went on to score another two. So very happy with that.
Give us an insight into what the dressing room is like behind the scenes. I mean, we've heard a little bit about some of the characters, you know, Brandon Lundy and was it Stefan Valentini, sort of B1 and B2 in the change rooms?
I probably can't comment too much about that on live on air. But yeah, we've got a few clowns in the team. Lundy's definitely one and Valentini as well. But I think everyone sort of adds something unique to the team, you know. Everyone's upbeat. It's great. It's nice to be in the chain rooms with such good personnel, and things are very good at the moment.
What's your role in the change room? You know, are you one of the funnier guys? Are you a bit more quiet? Are you very, I don't know, what's your role?
I sort of like to stir the pot for Lundy and Steph. Sort of they just hype them up a little bit because, you know, they'll take the bait and they'll just go off. So it's great to see.
We heard from, I think it was Matt Reed, has a bet going with Yeetay Towns.
Yeah, Yeetay who scores more goals, I think.
Bleach his hair. You don't have any of those sorts of
I didn't even
bets.
Know about that. I've got a little deal with Liam Boland.
Okay.
Little cheeky deal. When every time I win him a penalty, he owes me a coffee and a breakfast because I win him a few penalties buries them all. So it's a good little deal there.
Is that at Joey Cadabion's coffee shop? Is he still doing that?
No, I don't think he's doing that anymore, no. So we just go just off Chapel Street.
Right.
Nice little joint there.
So jumping back to the season as well. So we got off to a lightning start this year. The definition of lightning start, I reckon. What do you think was behind such a strong performance right out of the box? Because I think we lost most of our preseason games. Oh, didn't lose, but we didn't win many of our preseason games. So why was our start to the season so good?
I think losing all those preseason games was almost like a blessing in disguise for us, if I'm honest. I think, you know, we came into the season, we knew we had to be on song and we had to perform. And I think from day dot against Dandenong City, we turned it on and got the results. And I think a lot comes down to that preseason. I think personally, I think we came back and really showed what we could do from day dot.
What was the preseason really like? Was it tough work, physical, running up sand dunes, all the kind of, you know, rocky montages, or was it a lot of tactical work?
A bit of both. We had JB, our new performance coach, who's been great for us. He really put us through our paces in preseason, and as well as a lot of tactical work, as well as some games. And I think we lost most of the games, to be honest, especially when we went to Sydney for our preseason trip as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the physical workload, you know, they say can't read too much into preseason results, and it's certainly the case. But what about some of the new arrivals into the squad? You know, obviously Sakir is one of the high-profile ones, but how have some of the new guys fit in, and what have they added to the team?
I think they've been great. You know, Sookie's just oozes class, really. He's so silky on the ball. You got Steph, you got Lundy as well, both athletic players that can really do damage. You know, we've added good players all over the park. Yui, whoever's come in, I think, has done very well for us so far, and it's great to see.
What do you reckon has been our best win so far this season?
Best win? I don't know. I really enjoyed the one against South Melbourne, personally.
They got a special place in your heart. Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that one, or maybe Oakley as well.
Well, it was a 4-0 win against South Melbourne at Avenger Park. I remember that was a lovely day for football, and they sort of loomed as, you know, they're sort of an eternal powerhouse, or they're always there or thereabouts. So it was a good win. You know, they were the first sort of the toughest opposition we'd played at that stage. That was pretty darn good result.
Yeah, I mean, they're coming back a little bit now, I suppose. They beat Heidelberg the other night. But
they did.
Yeah.
I'm sure the
rematch at Lakeside will be pretty spicy.
Yeah, of course. It's going to be massive. I remember last year when Boland scored from halfway. I think we're pretty good on that pitch there, so looking forward to that one as well.
Do the South fans give you pelters because you know used to play for them, or are they still fond of you?
I haven't heard much from them when I play, really, which is actually, I guess they respect me a little bit, so it's good to see.
Maybe it's the running track so far away, can't you?
Yeah, maybe that too.
Maybe, I don't know.
Could be.
Pretty close to the action at Avenger Park. You're right up on the fence, which is always always good fun for crowd atmosphere, I imagine. I don't know.
Certainly.
So taking a look at a couple of other things. So as we near the halfway mark of the year, you know, some of the results started becoming a little bit tougher. You know, the draw against Hume and then Heidelberg and Bentley. Why do you reckon that is? Is it just because, you know, teams are getting better, or is it more because, you know, physically or mentally it's taking a toll on the boys, or what do you reckon?
Bit of both, really. I think they're two top teams, Bentley and Heidelberg, and it's always going to be difficult to play against them, especially towards the back end of the season when there's tired bodies, and maybe they did work us out a little bit. But having said that, I think we still put in good performances. Just didn't get the result we desired.
Does the challenge change at all in the second half of the season, given that, you know, maybe you were the not quite the underdogs, of course, because you made the NPL finals, you know, a grand final last season, but this time you're on top halfway through, you're kind of the hunted, and you can expect a lot of teams maybe to do what Bentley did and turn up and try to stifle you.
Yeah, I think we need to look back at last year as well. We were in a similar position where I think we were top two by mid-season, and second half of the season we found pretty challenging. I think teams we pumped in the first home rounds, we actually got beaten in second in the away legs. You know, Kingston beat us, Bulleen beat us, 5-1 last year. So I think we got to be careful, but at the same time we got to be confident and continue to play our way and get the results.
Well, taking a look back at last year, we are in better shape than we were last year. So a couple of notes that I've got here. So we're on more points this year. We're on 32 this year as opposed to 30 last year. We've had more wins. We've scored more goals. Crucially, though, I reckon, is the fact that we sit on top of the table. So like this time last year, I think we were third, and we were 4 points behind first place, as opposed to this year when, of course, we are on top and 4 points clear. Mm. So that's obviously a much much nicer situation to be sitting in. But what can we do to start the second half of the year the same way we started the first half and sort of continue that good form and that good position that we've established?
I think a lot comes down to our mentality. I think from the start of the season we came in confident. I think we need to do the same in the second half of the season and take every game like a final, like we have been in the first half. And if we do that, we shouldn't have any issues in the second half of the season.
Do you think the mid-season arrivals from other clubs might have an impact on the rest of the campaign? I mean, there's been rumours about Dandy City spending on, you know, every retiring A-League player under the sun. Maybe Avondale might be dipping into the transfer market. Who knows?
Yeah, of course teams are going to strengthen. Other teams are going to weaken as well, I guess. And I think one thing is consistent is the style of football. And, you know, we've recruited Charlie and Rory Bryan, who are going to strengthen our squad. And that's all we really needed to add. And we look to march on in the second half of the season.
What about those new guys? Can you tell the fans a little bit about, you know, who they are, what positions they play in, what they're like for if they haven't seen them play before?
So Charlie Beverley is a centre-back who was at Northcote last year. He's very strong and good in the air, no-nonsense kind of defender. Plays on the left side with left peg. And Rory Bryan's a young boy from Oakley who was second keeper there and is pushing for a spot in our team as well now.
Brilliant. Well, going into, you know, the rest of the campaign, obviously we've got this game coming up against Dandy City on the weekend, followed by the FFA Cup tie. Obviously you've played some midweek games, the Preston one probably the toughest that's been so far in terms of a contest. And the squad is rotating, obviously they've got high performance coaches and so forth. How hard is it to, you know, make that sort of 3-4 day turnaround from match to match?
Yeah, it is difficult on the body, but I think it comes down to your own sort of preparation. You know, JB ensures that all of us do our own recovery, and sometimes we get in our own a team recovery at the Elite Sports Centre. So when we get that in, that certainly helps. And but if everyone's doing their own bit for their body, I think that's certainly plays a part in performing on the weekend.
Because the squad is like the depth is excellent, but I've also noticed it's quite a tight-knit sort of smaller group of players. Like even when you compare it to a team like Preston who you played against, their squad is actually massive, but you know that not that many players see a pitch, whereas you guys, it seems like the team is quite tight-knit because you know you've got a smaller squad with kind of one backup in every position.
Yeah, I feel like there's competition in every single spot on the field, and I think that's only healthy for, you know, performance on the weekend. You know, you have to perform and to keep your spot at the end of the day, and if you're not, you're going to get substituted for someone who's, you know, just as good, really.
And taking a look again, you know, at the second half of the season, so Bentley and Heidelberg seem to be our toughest competitors so far this season, based purely on, you know, on the results. What are we going to do to be able to beat them come the pointy end of the season?
Without giving too much away.
Of course. Sorry, but you know, from a fan's point of view, like, how are we going to beat them?
I think we got to look back. I mean, those games have just happened over the last 2 weekends, so I think we need to have a bit of time and reflect over those games and have a look over the videos and see where we can really hurt them and maybe where we can improve. I think we sort of know where we need to improve against Bentley, but Heidelberg, a bit unpredictable the way they play. It's sort of, well, it's predictable in that they like to play long balls, but it's sort of, you know, long throw-ins, things like that. So it's difficult to defend, and if we can defend them well, I'm sure we can get a result against them in the second half of the season.
Is part of playing Heidelberg the sort of mental battle? I mean, we know how they play. They kind of come out very physically, and I imagine on the field, I don't know, we know all the trash talk that goes on and so forth, but I imagine they try and get in your head a little bit.
Yeah, I think they're the biggest team in this league that like to do that, and I think that game is, a lot of it is mental, but I think, you know, they try to bully us and whatnot, but none of us stand out against them, and I think you can see that from the sidelines that we may be a smaller team and whatnot, but, you know, we like to play football, and when the ball's on the ground, we can do damage against them.
And if you manage to get on top of them and frustrate them, then maybe they might get a couple of players sent off like they did against South on the weekend.
Exactly.
Well, how do you prepare for that? So, like, if you know a team's going to be super physical and, you know, try to intimidate you or bully you or put you off, or, I mean, how do you prepare for that? Do you just ask some of the other guys to throw sledges at you all week? I mean, what do you have to do to get ready? I don't know.
I think an important thing is just not drop to their level. You know, they want to fight, they want to tussle, and they want to not play football, essentially, I find. And I think if we stick to what we do playing football, you know, moving the ball quickly, and they're big boys, I don't think they can really cope with us. So we do that, I think they'll have problems against us.
Yeah, probably a bit more sophisticated than, you know, some of my junior coaches who got me to, you know, rub mud on my face like war paint so he wouldn't be scared of the first challenge.
What is it, in the first 5 minutes,
let them know you're there?
Yeah, that's it. That's Heidelberg just do that for the entire game, maybe? It's for the whole 90 minutes they're going to know
they
we're there.
They can't stop letting us know that they're there. They're just very obnoxious. Yeah. Anyway, I won't ask you to comment on that.
So what about Bentley, though? So if we know that Heidelberg are physical, but what about Bentley? Because you said that the way they played sort of surprised us a little bit. So what are we going to have to change to adapt to them?
I think we already started working on that midweek. You know, we sort of looked at if a team were to sit back like that in a game, how can we sort of work it out ourselves? I mean, the coaches can only tell us, you know, so many things. We have to do it on the field. And I think if we take initiative on the field and, you know, use what we've learned in training and, you know, use it in a game, I think that's how we can hurt them.
I don't think John Anastasiadis is going to be there after this. That was, I think, his last game,
yeah,
wasn't it?
His last game. And I also believe it was Valentino Yule's last game as well, from what I've heard.
Well, that's always handy. I mean, if those guys aren't going to be there. But, Stefan, I think we'll probably leave it just about there. But thank you so much for coming in. Obviously, you know, it's harder when you're coming in after a defeat rather than, you know, crazy unbeaten winning streak. But, you know, best of luck for the rest of the season. Obviously, you played some fantastic football for half an NPL campaign and halfway to go.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.